I've been trying to, just to let you guys know, I've been trying to get this 30-second thing down for the last 5 minutes because the people around me are real immature, but we're going to try. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of the Nobody Cares Anthony podcast. This episode, we're going to do like sort of a year-end review. Did I just have a stroke? Don't laugh. Don't laugh. We're leaving it in so the people can see the raw footage, okay? We're leaving it in. This episode is sort of like a year in review. Got it. Nailed it. Where we're going to be highlighting some of my favorite moments, some of Josh's favorite moments, some of Flick's favorite moments, and everybody's favorite moments in an episode. So if you've never watched the podcast before, this might be a good opportunity to see what you're getting into. Okay. And if you have, nice trip down memory lane. We're going to do a little bit of the interview I had with my dad, a little bit of the interview that I had with Maureen Hancock, me and Packy, me, Packy, and Jackie, solo episode. And it just sort of encapsulating things that we've discovered and sort of like a highlight reel, an ESPN top 10, if you will. So sit back, enjoy, and I hope you like it. Is that enough?
Whenever you are.
And we're rolling. Welcome, everybody. Packy, how was your day today so far?
Been great.
Nobody cares. So I wanted to get right into a segment that I think we're going to do, a reoccurring segment. And all so right. For homework, between now and the next time we do an episode, this is for you to something for you to think about throughout the week. So the segment's called Stuff That Bothered Me This Week, okay? And I'm going to start off with Massachusetts is getting rid of the menthol Newports again. They're getting rid of them again. So for those of you that don't know, in Massachusetts, they got rid of menthol Newports because they don't want them to be a flavor. They don't want cigarettes to be a flavor to attract kids, right?
Exactly.
Okay? We'll get into that whole argument in a second. So then what the company Newport did is they introduced a new alternative to the menthol, and it's like made from a friggin' eucalyptus tree or something like that, still the green pack, and it didn't take... We got robbed. It didn't taste like a regular Newport, but it was good enough. Now they're getting rid of those because those are too close to a flavor. And what pisses me off about it is, so I'm 34 years old. Been smoking cigarettes since I was in high school, trying to be cool. And then one thing you know, 20 years later, you're still smoking cigarettes. Not so cool, but it is what it is. And I've been a Newport smoker this entire time. And then when they got rid of it, I was like, because they're... What's the logic behind it? Do you know what I mean? You can go buy bubblegum vodka. What? I'm not going to smoke a cigarette and then wrap my car around a tree and friggin' run over somebody on the sidewalk. Do you know what I mean? Think about the dangers of alcohol. All that has fun flavors. You know what I mean?
It's advertised, too, like crazy.
And then also, it's like if once I become an adult, so it's like 18 is when you're allowed to start doing stuff. If I want to smoke a menthol cigarette, I should be allowed to smoke a menthol cigarette. So you're telling me at 18 years old, I can decide to get my papiche cut off and turned into Vavish, but I can't smoke a menthol cigarette. You can cut your papiche off and turn it into a Vavish, but you can't smoke a menthol cigarette.
You can go fight in a war at 18 years old. You can go carry an M16.
Can't have a menthol cigarette because it's too... It's not like menthol's bubblegum or watermelon. It doesn't... It's mint. We're outlawing mint?
That's where, for me, is my first cigarette wasn't a menthol. So how are you promoting to minors if my first cigarette was a regular cigarette? Was your first cigarette a regular one?
I think my first cigarette was a Parliament.
Yeah,
not menthol. Stole it from, like, my friend's mom.
Not menthol.
Smoked it in the woods. No, but even still, it's like... The logic, like, what are they? They're doing not enough but too much at the same time, the fucking government. They're doing too much and not enough at the same time, if that makes any sense.
It's the state, not the government. It's the state of Massachusetts. That's
it. But all around, you see, here's some ridiculous rules where it's like, wait, you can't. And COVID was the worst. I don't even want to get into a whole COVID thing, but it's like, you can't go to the beach. You can't go to the beach. The virus isn't coming to the beach, dude. You know what I mean? But whatever.
That's my number one. Snickers bars my number one.
So now, like, coming from a guy that feeds his kids frozen nuggets, it's like nothing you say. Like, Snickers being your number one, but you and the family are all non-unfrozen nuggets. Do you jump in on it?
No.
You don't jump in and
eat? No, it grosses me out.
So Hannah does.
Nope, she doesn't either.
She's moved on.
She was a kid. It grosses me out where the fact where after I put them on a plate for them and they eat them, I have to wash my hands because the smell of the nuggets, like, gross me out. Like, the smell of the
frozen nuggets.
The breading just is like, ugh.
Yeah.
But they love them, dude. And if they can, if that gets their protein, and the food they request more than anything else is frozen chicken nuggets, apples, strawberries, and salad.
Yeah, but it's not it. So it's like, oh, if it gets the, like, if they like to, like, run outside and eat salamanders, and that was like, oh, hey, if they get their protein, like, it's strange. No, don't let them do that.
They're fully cooked.
Frozen. I understand that they're cooked, but your kids are eating nugget popsicles. It's fucking. I've never heard it. I've been all around the world. I've met so many different types of people, you know? And I eat more nuggets than. The amount of nuggets I've eaten in my life, like I had them last night and the night before. The Purdue's, dude, get some Gold Fever sauce, throw your show on, got a little freaking Powerade or some Schweppes. That's a night. I've never thought to myself, let me take a bite out of this frozen nugget.
Try it.
I'm not going to try it.
You know what it started as? Daddy, I want chicken nuggets. Fine. And I'd heat them up. They go, I don't want these. And then I'd eat them. And then they start. Now they ask, "Daddy, can I have frozen chicken nuggets?" "Daddy, can I have frozen chicken nuggets?" And they know they're frozen, and they want them. I'm like, okay. Like I said, they could be requesting a lot worse things, like candy and Cocoa Puffs and bullshit.
Yeah, heroin. Yeah, sure. They could. There's so many things they could request that's weirder.
I'm talking for a 5-year-old to request.
Yeah.
Then they could be requesting a lot of other things.
Give me the frozen nuggets. We've been on the frozen nuggets topic for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, what's your favorite movie? Blah, 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 blah. And sometimes it's tough. Like, oh, I don't know. I can't. Like, favorite song, favorite movie. For me, it's not. My favorite movie of all time is Forrest Gump.
Great flick.
And people, my biggest takeaway from Forrest Gump is people like to shit on Jenny. Where it's like, did you watch the movie? Did you see what she went through? You know what I mean? And how nice she was. She met Forrest. She let him sit on the other kids on the bus weren't letting him sit down. She let him sit. She made him feel welcome. They became friends. The father's molesting her. You know what I mean? Like, look at what she's been through. How dare you shit on Jenny? But Forrest Gump, hands down, the best movie ever created.
Why do you think that?
It's got everything. Action, drama, historical events. Comedy. It's got everything in one movie.
Wow.
Emotion. It's got everything.
It really does.
So, and it has one of the most powerful scenes and most powerful messages that I've ever gotten from a movie. And I think this is coming from like a perspective of a guy that's lost his girlfriend. And I think like I rewatched Forrest Gump. Like, it's the only movie I'll rewatch. Because my whole thing is like, I'd rather watch something I've never seen than rewatch a movie. But Forrest Gump, I can always watch it again. And at the end of the movie, when he's talking to Jenny at her grave, and I'll just play this clip. The clip of Forrest Gump. So my first guest, official guest on the podcast, is somebody that I've known for a long time, my dad.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And I promised him we wouldn't give him like any hard hitting questions, so we'll try to stay away from that. Right. What happened with you and mom with the divorce? Let me talk a little. I'm just joking. I have to do things for myself, and I start to feel a little bit better, and the train starts going down the track, and before I can get any momentum, the train falls off the track.
You have to find different things. One of the things I'm doing, building a new home, right? Mm. So the highlight of my afternoon now is go and see the, you know, what's going on with the house. Mm. What was done today, okay? So I go there. I will sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes, listen to the birds.
Mm. Yeah.
I could be sitting somewhere else, depressed, thinking about something else.
Right.
Thinking about what transpired at work. I had this client that returned this $20,000 ring. No. Now I'm going to take an hour to just listen to birds.
My whole thing is that... The term depression is sort of a blanket statement, right? Your depression that you experience is due to circumstances in your life,
yeah.
My depression is due to circumstances in my life. So the term is the same, but the factors that led to it are different. So I feel like the solution might look a little different because what I'm dealing with is different. Where you were depressed, I was depressed, right? But that's just a blanket term. It's but so much deeper than that. Where
you need to get out. You can't.
Staying
home, looking at the TV or your phone is not going to help you out. You need to go for a walk. Go listen to birds. Do what I do. Find something that you really enjoy. Go sit on the beach and listen to waves. Listen to great music.
No, and I do. That's what I do stuff like that.
Find a few
things. I do stuff like I don't listen to fucking birds, but I do stuff like that. And like I said, I notice that it makes me feel better. Even if I go to your store, I'm there for 10, 15 minutes. I goof off with you. I goof off with Uncle Chuck. I goof off with Pedro. I feel better when I leave there. Yeah. And then I use that momentum and I go get work done. I go do something and then the momentum comes. And then all of a sudden I might go to sleep feeling motivated. All right, tomorrow I'm going to friggin' do X, Y, and Z. And then I wake up in the morning and it's back.
No.
And I lost all that momentum. It's
you have
listen.
You have to get up and do it.
I've been through worse.
Okay.
It's
and then it was terrible a month ago, and then it disappeared. That's how you have to look at it.
Yeah. We'll get to. Maybe I'll go listen to birds. The birds.
Meet me
key.
Every day at 6:05, 6:10.
Yeah.
Come to the new property. We'll sit there, and you'll. It's incredible.
Do you? I think that you missed your calling with the. Radio,
right?
I think because you're doing a great job.
Oh yeah,
you're not nervous. Conversation's flowing. You sound great.
I haven't cried yet.
You haven't cried. I could if you really want me.
I cry about last time?
What's so funny is they're Flick and Josh are probably listening to this.
Yeah.
The amount of times you've mentioned how easily you've cried on every episode.
About?
On every There's episode we've had about. So far, I've talked about how easily I cry.
Well, what did I cry? About?
Really funny, dude.
Yeah. Oh, put up the zesty one. Yeah. Top right. Yeah, there he is in the top right. Look at him. Imagine getting killed by that guy.
Bang.
Jesus.
That's so funny. Shooting. That guy's just like, what's up?
Hand in his pocket. Yeah. Just. I'm surprised he's not holding the gun sideways.
Then look at all the eyeglasses the other people are wearing.
Yeah, look at the guy with the arched back. He's dressed like fucking Spider-Man, dude. What is he wearing, dude?
I don't know. Leather. Oh, backwards hat.
Oh, then look at her, dude. That's the thing about other countries, too, where it's like you see someone like if you win a gold and you're from the U.S., you get like 14 grand.
Yeah.
But if you're from like the Philippines, you get like your own village.
Yes, you get
like
your own house.
It's a different, yeah. Like people are playing for different stakes.
I think the U.S. is like 36 grand and like celebrities are going... That's bull. Like 36 grand, that's it for gold. Mind you, they get the Wheaties deals. They get the...
Yeah, brand deals. But in today's economy, 36... and then it's like, oh, the government's coming in and saying, oh, you got to pay an Olympic tax. And they're taking half of it. And
international tax.
Yeah, a bag of cheese, it's $7. It's like 36 grand isn't a lot. It's like 500 bags of cheese.
It's nothing. But yeah, dude. And then, like you said, there's some places that are like, if you win this, you win a house. It's like, what? What do you mean I win a house for getting gold medal?
I just want to say, too, I just want to give a special shout out to our lovely producers, Flick and Josh.
Oh.
If you guys are out there and you're listening and you need any work done as far as producing media, whether it's a wedding or you're into social media, you want them to produce something, these guys are lights out. They're great people. They do great work.
Awesome.
I'll give them a little tag in my Instagram story and stuff like that. Hit them up. They're very approachable. Let me see if I can have Josh pull it up. I think...
Came up with something?
Yeah, he came up with something. I think that we could go somewhere with this. If you're listening, you're not going to be able to tell what the fuck we're talking about, but...
Oh, Jesus.
What do you think of that?
That's a terrible, terrible...
I think... But it looks so real.
It looks so real!
Like, I could see it.
It looks so real.
Listen, we're in discussions with some brands that want to work with us. And just for men, if you're listening.
Wow. I'm kind of a stud.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
Minus my down slanty eyes, I'm kind of a stud.
Isn't a stud like a lesbian that dresses like a dude?
No, a stud is a horse that they use to breed other horses to make winning award-winning horses. And like,
oh, I didn't know that. So how did lesbians steal that?
I don't know.
The correlation between a horse that's used to breed championship horses and a lesbian that dresses like an NBA player?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's interesting.
Brittany Griner, you know, stud horse, pretty similar. She's a big woman. But see, that's...
Yeah, she's like 6...
All right, everybody. Welcome to a special version of the podcast where I'm going to tell you guys a campfire tale. True events, true story of a time I got sent to a wilderness program when I was a kid. And I couldn't think of a better place to tell it than in the woods. In August, in the dead of summer... 2 feet away from a fire, okay? So if I'm 15 pounds lighter by the end of the story, then you'll understand why. But so every time I tell the story, I get in the zone, and it really brings me back to when I was there. And being in the woods, something about being in the woods right now gets me fired up while telling the story. So when I was, you know, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was heading down a bad path. I was already... into heavy drugs, and you know, my parents just couldn't control me at all. They didn't know what to do. I would just leave the house for days and not tell them where I was going and not answer their phone calls. They had no control over me. They didn't know what to do. It was a packet and a checklist of things you needed to complete. It was a mixture of writing assignments and physical activities. So I literally needed to learn how to bow drill fires. For those of you that don't know, like through with natural materials, just files, because they couldn't trust us with knives. So what a bow drill is essentially is you find a stick that's curved like a bow, and there's certain woods that are better for it that are, you know, aren't going to break easy, and you even fire harden them, which you put them close to a fire, but not too close to a fire, so they don't burn up with the fire. And then once they're fire hardened, you take that P-cord that you use to make the tent.
Yeah.
And you make sort of like a bow, where with this you have a little slack in it.
Yeah.
And then with the files, you make a spindle. So it's like a thick pencil, essentially, that you're filing. And it has a point, and then the top of it is rounded, just like an eraser.
Yeah.
And you take that spindle, and you wrap it in the bow. So now the bow is around the spindle, and you have the bow like this. And then you have a piece, you have a fireboard that you've collected in the woods, and you cut a notch in it. And then you have this coal, this like little paper coal thing, right, that catches sparks. And so, or catches like an ember and makes it, you know, light up,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so difficult to do. So you're making these materials by scratch, and you literally have your foot in the fireboard, and you're going like this with the bow. And now the spindle is spinning into the notch, creating friction. And if you create enough friction, you'll start to see smoke.
It gets hot.
Then you'll get an ember. And you take that ember and you drop it into a pile of pine needles that you've wrapped in birch bark like a tortilla, which is all really flammable. And then you hold it up and you blow in it. And then that catches on fire and you throw it into a pile of small sticks. And then you get medium sticks, then you get large sticks, and then you get a fire going. And so you needed to do that a certain number of times before you moved on from one phase to another. And just that portion would cause kids to be in the woods for 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks longer than if they had just gotten it for a second, third try. It was a very difficult thing. Along with that, you had to learn how to set traps, and you know, you had to do different physical activities, one-on-one, group activities, stuff.
Hey, Lauren, what's up?
What are you doing?
You're live on the air on the podcast.
Nah.
No, you are. I'm sitting here. I got you on speakerphone with the phone up to the microphone.
What's up, Lauren?
Hi, Baggy.
Now, what are you calling for?
To see if you were watching the stuff I was sending you and getting your blood work done.
Just nagging you.
You're calling me about the thing, the article you sent me on sugar not being good for you?
Yeah, how you have to eat better, and how I always say when I see the videos of you, you're under your and around your eyes look yellow, which means something's off with your liver. So it's really bothering me, so I want you to get the blood work.
Okay, I'll get that done for you. Is there anything else while we have you here?
Nah, your sister worries about you. I was just checking up on you.
I appreciate that. How do you know what I eat? You live in Florida.
Because I've seen your cabinet, and I know your eating habits.
Okay. Are you with Kevin?
Yep.
We know you eat Uncrustables for breakfast.
No. Listen, all right. So my sister's fiance is on the carnivore diet.
And he's savage. Yeah, he's savage.
He's built like a Phi Beta Gamma. You know what I mean? Like one of the, he's looking good.
Of course.
All right, well... Yeah, I will take your recommendations into consideration and consider changing my eating habits and looking at all the documents you've sent me about sugar.
Well, now it's on the podcast, so people are going to hold you to it. You could do like this cool experiment and like every day say like day one, no sugar, day 30, no sugar, and like bring your people like through your no sugar eating healthy journey.
Yeah, I think that might be a winner. That might bring in the views, Lauren. You might be onto something.
I think I am. You can show them, like, this is what I eat now. I'm going to do this 30-day eat healthy challenge. And see how
no, you're going to go from dad bod to washboard abs bod. Yeah.
Bang!
I don't think the internet can handle that.
Well, I think it's a good idea. So please do that. I know I'm not supposed to nag you, but I just, you know, I've been thinking about it, so I had to call.
No, it wasn't nagging. It was the unsolicited advice. But I do appreciate it. And I think there's nothing wrong with unsolicited advice. It's just if it's constant and every time we speak. So I like how since we've had the conversation about how the fact that your unsolicited advice has been annoying me, that you've kind of... You might do a phone call where you don't give any unsolicited advice, and then you might call just randomly out of the blue on a Sunday at 6:30 at night and give me unsolicited advice. I like that you've kind of found a balance with it, so that I can appreciate.
You kind of screwed me because she has a certain unsolicited advice quota per day.
Is she giving you unsolicited advice now?
Yeah, no, I used to get like half of her unsolicited advice, but since you yelled at her, now I get all of it.
But how does she, what advice could she have for you? You're built like a Greek god and you only eat ground beef.
Not cleaning up after yourself. Fingerprints on the refrigerator. You didn't vacuum up after yourself. Be on the toilet. Why are you cleaning me?
Well, hey, listen, Kev. When's the wedding? May? You got a lot of time to decide if this is what you really want, dude.
I was going to say, that sounds like a marriage to me. That sounds like a marriage.
I'd love to have the both of you on this podcast. That'd be
awesome.
I don't know if I want the world.
We'll do it in person.
Kevin went on a podcast, didn't he? To talk about what
Kevin
he does for work.
Yeah, Kevin can do that. I think I want to remain sort of anonymous.
Why?
You know, I just want to live on my farm with my future children and just, you know. Not
you live in Fort Lauderdale.
Your pride or ego or whatever doesn't want you to admit that you care about what people think. I don't care about what people think of me. I don't give a crap. But I do care. And I need to, you know, start to learn to shift away from caring so much. And then I was like thinking about it and I was like, who am I so concerned about? Because it's not the people that matter. It's not my mother, my father, my sister, close friends. Like, I don't really care what they think. Like in a sense of like, I could talk about anything to them, you know? And so it's like, who am I afraid of talking about certain things in front of? You know what I mean? Is it my audience? Is it the people that follow me? And I thought about it. It's like, it's all the acquaintances in my life. It's all the people that I've met over the years that I'm not really friends with, but that know me, you know, different social circles I've been in that like maybe could talk about me behind my back, but it's not anybody really close to me. So it's like a backwards way of thinking. It's like, why do I really even care about what those people think? Those are the people that I'm like worried about, you know, saying certain stuff. It's like, who gives a crap about those people?
So I'm here today with the medium next door, Maureen Hancock. Very excited about this talk.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Relate to my situation and think about my girlfriend that passed. And it would make me sad, but the sadness would almost make me feel more connected to her. Oh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And as time has gone on, the sadness sort of takes on a different feel. Well, you don't, you know, before I would think about her and it's waterworks every time. And the sadness sort of dissipates. And I almost feel like I feel sad that the sadness is dissipating because the sadness would help me feel connected to her and closer to her. And so as the sadness goes away, I started to feel like the connection went away at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, people say that to me. And I say, listen, it's like you're removing layers of like this artichoke, right, to find your heart again. And that they never really like fully leave you, but their hope is that you get to a point that you fully understand and believe that you're forever connected. It's just in a different way. Mm. And energy cannot die or be destroyed, and quantum physics, and because this is your brain, right?
Well, Antonia, mom and dad, if you're listening, you guys did a horrible job. Now, you guys were great parents. I love you very much. Everything turned out fine. Lauren went to Harvard. Look at me. I got a podcast. Yay. You guys did great, okay? You did your best. But one thing you didn't do great at was monitoring what music I was listening to as a kid. What year did What's Your Fantasy come out by Ludacris?
What's Your Fantasy? What's
Your Fantasy? Ludacris. Are you guys ready for this? Mom and Dad, hold on. What year did that come out? 2001, 2002. What year did What's Your Fantasy come out? 1999, okay? So depending on what month it came out, I was like 9 or 10 years old. I was 10 years old. 10 years old. My son's 11. I could not imagine him listening to this. Are you ready for this, Mom and Dad? This is what you let me listen to. Now, you got to listen to this now. You're going to be uncomfortable just hearing me read these lyrics as a 35-year-old man. This is what you let me listen to when I was 10. I want to lick you from your head to your toes. I want to move from the bed down, down to the flow. Then I want to, you make it so good, I don't want to leave. But I got to know what's your fantasy, right? And then that's the chorus. And then let's get into the first verse. I want to get you in the Georgia Dome on the 50-yard line while the dirty birds kick for tree. And if you like the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP. They didn't know what the VIP was.
No, not a club.
Whipped cream with cherries and strawberries on top. Lick it. Don't stop. Okay, Mom and Dad, are you listening? Keep the door locked. Don't knock while the boat rock. We go bots and robots, so they got to wait till the show stop. Or how about on the beach with black sand? Lick it up your thigh, then call me the Pac-Man. Tabletop or just give me a lap dance. The rock to the park to the point to the flatlands. I don't know what that means either. Still at this age. That man named Ludacris. Ooh, in the public bathroom or in the back of the classroom. However you want it. Love a lover gonna tap that ass soon. See, I cast him, I pass him, get a tight grip, then I grasp him. I flash him, outlast him, and if it ain't good, then I trash him. That's no way to treat women. While you stash them, I let them free. And then they tell me what's their fantasy. Like, up on the roof, tell your boyfriend not to be mad at me. 10 years old, Mom and Dad, you guys let me listen to that.
I was just looking up. I said, when did The Massacre drop? Because that was the first CD I ever bought. I was in sixth grade listening to The Massacre.
Hold on. Now that I'm looking, the last verse is even worse. All right. Yeah, Kathleen, Antonio, you guys thought you were out of the woods and we were just going to move on to another subject? You're wrong. I want to get you in the back seat, windows up. That's the way you like to fuck. Clogged up, fog alert, rip the pants and rip the shirt. Rough sex, make it hurt. In the garden, all in the dirt. Roll around, Georgia Brown. That's the way that I like it twerked. Legs jerked, overworked, underpaid, but don't be afraid. In the sun or in the shade, on the top of my Escalade. That's twice now they're doing it on top of a vehicle. Maybe a girl and my friend can trade. Tag team, off the rope. On the ocean, or in the boat. Factories are on 100 spokes. What about up in the candy store? In the candy store, Ludacris? That chocolate, make it melt. Whips and chains, handcuffs. Smack a little booty up with my belt. Scream help. Play my game. Dracula, man. I'll get my fangs. Now it's turning into a ditty potty. Horse back and I'll get my reins. School teacher, let me get my brains. Wild.
Insane.
Clip that.
It's good credit, bad credit, no problem. We'll get you approved.
Now, how's your used car inventory? What if I'm not a lesbian and I don't want to buy a Subaru? I
saw that coming. We have a lot of great used cars. We have a Mercedes used right now. Nice. Taking an Acura used.
Any trucks?
No trucks.
You guys don't do trucks?
We do, but when we do, we have a Chevy sister store.
Okay.
That they do a lot better over there.
Right.
So we send our trucks there, and they send like the SUVs our way, like the smaller size SUVs. Okay.
And then like what else goes well with the Subaru? You guys must have like a lot of those, like Kia Souls.
We actually, October is the Subaru Love Pets event. So everyone who buys a car, every new car purchase gets, that new car donates $500 to your local pound, or local, I shouldn't say pound.
Animal shelter.
Local animal shelter. So like every year, every October, we do like $30,000 to them. And every customer with a pet gets a dog toy. It's called a Chubaru Outbark. So
oh,
it's like
I
a
like
squeaky
that.
Toy. Sure. Yeah.
No, I mean, so I will say, I know I like to crack jokes, but I also, not the same dealership, but
nope.
I did for a brief stint work at a Subaru dealership.
You did.
And so I learned a lot about Subarus. Yeah. Very reliable vehicles.
Very.
You can go way past 100,000 miles on those things and without dumping a shitload of money into it.
You're absolutely right.
Really easy to fix, inexpensive to fix.
Yes.
Very, very well made and reliable cars. And it's like, you know, they do have... I let out like, oh, fuck. Like, oh, wow.
Do you imagine that feeling if the plane was actually going down? It'd be that feeling for just, what, 10 minutes, 5 minutes of just...
I think I'd have a heart attack. Because we had... Because there's levels to the drops.
Yeah.
This one was like a, ooh, like it was like a little bit longer than just your quick little boop, boop, ooh. And I let out like a, oh, fuck. I felt like such a vagine, dude. Because, you know what I mean? Because everyone else was kind of like, oh, a little bit. Then it like goes away. And I was so visibly stressed out. But one thing that drove me crazy was on the return flight. During what's the carousel where you get your
baggage claim. Yeah.
The way people hover the baggage claim.
Nobody else is taking your bag, dude. Just wait.
Nobody's taking it. And also, like, if you don't have like if your daughter's not like about to give birth and you're gonna miss your grandson being born, or like you have, but like connecting flights, they take the luggage for you, right?
They
so
move
you're not
the, yeah,
there
yeah,
for
yeah.
connecting flights, right? It goes around again. If you miss it, like say you see it, but like you're not in a position to grab it right away, you can just walk down and kind of follow it and grab it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It comes back around. They don't put it back on the plane. It's not like, hey, you got one chance to grab it, or it's going back on the plane and it's going back to freaking Costa Rica. No, it comes around again.
See, that's where I feel like there should be rules to it, where if there's a woman that's 5 foot nothing, you should be in the front. You get your bag. If someone who's 6'7" should be in the back looking for their bag, say, oh, there it is. And then when it starts to come around, when it's coming around there, if you're standing here, you go, excuse me, I see mine coming. Excuse me. Get to the front, grab it, go.
Well, it's also when you crowd it, right? When your shin is touching the turn thing, the carousel. What happens is now everybody needs to push forward and everybody needs to kind of look over because you can't see and you need to hover and then it's all crowded. But if everyone just took like 7 steps back and just like, oh, you see your bag? Now I'm going to step forward.
And then I'll be gone.
Right.
I'll be gone.
But what you have to do, and this is, it always makes me feel really good inside. If you ever see an elderly woman, you always grab her bag.
Every time.
Always
every
grab
time.
Her bag. And you just get... You kind of, I did it for a lady, and then I kind of scanned the room. Like, did anyone notice that I did that? Is anyone proud of me for doing that? Because I feel really good about it.
Of course.
And then another thing.
Oh, jeez.
Airplane food is disgusting, no? That's just me being a picky eater? Or do you agree?
It's different for me because I've never been on that many far international flights where, like, I'll go Delta. They'll go bring those Biscuit cookies, which are phenomenal. And then like sodas and snacks. Like I've never got a meal really on a plane unless I was like 4 years old when I went to England.
Okay. So, all right. So really, you've never had a meal. In my opinion, they're disgusting. They're gross.
Yeah.
And it's like, you see the, it's like everybody eats the, I always refuse it because it's like, all right, a 4.5 hour flight. I know I'm a big, big, big movie person.
I think there's only one right answer for best soundtrack to a movie. I think there's one, only one right answer for best soundtrack to any movie. And it was to a Disney movie. And it was obviously an animation. And it was
Aladdin.
It was Phil Collins on Tarzan. Dude, killed every song. Oh,
okay, yeah, okay, dude. Yeah, okay.
What?
A whole new world. A new fantastic point of view.
They're going to say Lion
King. No one to tell us no.
But that Tarzan movie, that Phil Collins soundtrack, people hated it at the time.
Yes.
But now people love it.
Love it.
One jump, head of the bread line. One swing, head of the sword. I steal only what I can't afford. That's everything. One leap, head of the lawman. One stride, that's no joke. These fools can't appreciate I'm broke.
I think
gotta steal, eat, gotta eat the lay. But no.
You
know what I was just gonna say when you said I think the best. No, but let me tell you this: the best soundtrack I've ever.
No.
That's just my mimic voice. No matter who you are, you could have a deep ass voice, and that would be my mimic voice. It's just distinguishing between my voice and me. Yeah. Talking as you, so it's clear for the listener.
Okay.
But anyways, I hate that we have to have the best.
I know.
And
I
we spend so much time on the best. Like I did it. I brought up Michael Jordan and LeBron James. There's so much the best talk. Why can't we just appreciate what is? Do you know what I mean? Like, why can't we just appreciate so many different movies and we have to have the stupid conversations of what's the best movie ever? What's the best sequel ever? Who's the best basketball player? Who's the best football player? Who's the best president?
Well, we know the answer to the best football player. That doesn't count.
It's Tom Brady. That's an easy one. Yeah, that's a stupid. Yeah. That's crazy.
Especially when Packy says it, I'm like, I'm gonna say no.
No, you're not gonna agree with it. I'm not gonna agree with it.
Oh, yeah.
But I did.
Packy's takes on pop culture.
One of his early TikToks or early, maybe Snapchats before you were like, mega viral was you singing the Mulan song.
Because they came out with
the real one, the live action.
What was it?
Let's
get down to business and defeat the Huns. Yeah. I'll make a man out of you. That was great. Oh, Mulan, the original Mulan.
It's great.
Yeah, Disney killed it in those early years with all those hits. Dude.
I even had like a liking like, as a young kid. I loved the Mary Poppins movie.
Oh, you want to talk young kid movies? I mean, we're talking Indian in the Cupboard.
Yeah.
We're talking The Goonies, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
We're talking Sandlot. We're talking Little Giants. We're talking Little Rascals.
Great.
And fun fact, I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast. Do you know Stymie from The Little Rascals?
Yes.
So he's a little black kid.
Yes.
He's like one of the main kids in the movie. I used to be his roommate.
Which is cool.
Yeah, we used to be roommates at a recovery house.
It's really cool.
And I remember when he lived at a different recovery house.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, "Yo, do you know Stymie from Little Rascals lives at Ba-Ba-Ba Recovery House?" And I was like, "Get the fuck out of town. There's no way, dude." And I went over, you know, just to meet him one day because I'm such a movie person. Yeah. And then he ended up living in my house.
So cool.
Great kid. Great guy. Flamboyantly gay. Flamboyantly gay. Like one of those, like,
yes,
he lets you know right away. And he was a great guy, good roommate. Interesting to talk to him and get his perspective on what it was like to be a child actor, especially in a movie that big. And then I immediately went on his Facebook and was able to find the entire cast, and I sent them friend requests. So I found like Darla, I found all of them. None of them accepted my friend request, which is fine.
Hannah's dad used to call her, and her mother still calls her D because they used to think she looked just like Darla as a kid. So now they all call her Darla.
Yeah, that was I was more of a Little Giants over Little Rascals guy.
Little Giants was great with mind you, what's his name? The Little Giants coach? Guy from Shawnee I Shrunk the Kids.
Guy from Shawnee I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah. You know, he got snuffed in New York.
People used to say I look like him. What's his name, dude?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, especially if I wear glasses, I look like him.
I just talked about this.
Oh, my God. We're so bad at this, dude.
Because someone, again, is screaming on the other line.
It's like monkey, monk, monk, monk.
So Anthony's not here. What he doesn't know about tonight's episode is that on Facebook today, I actually put up a status and I blocked him from seeing it.
Yep,
so I have been getting, I've been getting DMs. So let me just start off and read what it says. Attention, single ladies. I'm off.
This is true, Anthony. This is true. This is not a lie.
She's not, he's not here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot.
But if he was here.
I forgot.
Okay. I'm on a mission to find a date for my incredible friend, Anthony. Don't worry. He's blocked from seeing this. If you or someone you know is single and ready to mingle, slide into my DMs and tell me why you're the perfect match for him. I know the dating scene is a jungle out there. So here's the twist. You've got to be available to chat tonight. Let's make love happen. If he was here, hey, he would be so mad.
The picture you used of him was a good picture, too. It was a good picture.
The cougars were out.
Oh, 45.
Can I chime in for 2 seconds and then I'll give you a... Let me chime in
Josh,
for 2 seconds.
Do you hear something on the third mic?
No, real quick, real quick.
Do you hear something on the mic?
Let me just... Can I just say, what a fucking topic to dive into when I go into the third row of the car to fucking throw that curveball in there. But that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to chime in. Continue between the two of you.
Okay. I'm
fucking in the back.
So I have a couple callers that are going to call in. Josh and I talked this week and he gave me the...
Josh, you fired.
So if Anthony was here, what I would tell him is, I want you to be happy. I want you to feel loved. So I want to hook you up on a date.
Let's rewind the tape because it doesn't fucking... Let's rewind the tape. Pull up the clips, Josh.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, not really. I think the mic's broken. Yeah.
So
he's Peggy, trying not to laugh.
Yeah, sorry. I'm gonna actually text the first caller and see if she'll call.
Oh, please.
And we're just going to call her caller one.
She's going to be talking. I'm not here, so I don't know what she's going to talk to. It's going to be real awkward for her.
You got to be here, though, because she doesn't know. She hasn't heard any of this yet, so.
Can you?
Do I really have to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I want to pick my own girlfriend. You know what I mean? I want to pick my own.
Are you talking about?
No.
What do you think? Boston chicks ain't like that?
No, Boston chicks, like real Boston chicks, like you're walking down the street and you ignore them and they're like, you think you're a fucking porn star? Like those ones? No. Do they exist anymore? Those girls are kind of, do they? They're still out there in the city? Like Dorchester and South Eastern?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
They're still out there.
I'm sure they are.
I feel like there was a lot more of them, like in the 80s and 90s.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those ones are ripping Budweiser's at the local pub.
Can you rip a Budweiser? I thought you'd only rip a joint. You rip a Budweiser? Because there's no ripping involved.
I just said you could. You could rip it down quick.
Are you ripping it?
Yeah,
because when you smoke, you're ripping it. That's a rip. But when you drink it, you ripping?
Yeah, I've heard people say ripping nips. Mind you, that's shooters or minis for anyone else in different states. It's called a nip in Massachusetts because a nip is a unit of measurement.
All right, we'll cut that out.
What do you mean?
Thanks, Maverick. Appreciate that.
What do you mean?
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. He sent me a picture of it.
Oh, outside your door?
Yeah, I don't know how. He must have sprinted. That was fast, dude.
He's really door dashing, dude. He's...
Did he? We should have had him come.
Thanks, Ben.
Hey, lock that door for me, Josh. I don't know. I got street beef still. I haven't been doing well for that long. You never know. We got to lock doors around here, you know? All right. Do you want
1, 2, 3, 4.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now bring me some figgy pudding. Now
bring us some figgy pudding.
Come on, Santa.
Come on, get into the holiday spirit.
For those of you that have not shut off your radios, thanks for staying with us. And welcome to a special edition of the Nobody Cares Anthony podcast, holiday version. And I say holiday because not everyone celebrates Christmas.
Hanukkah is right around the
and
corner.
And I'm not just Santa. I'm just Mazel festive.
Tov. I love that.
I don't know if I can do the wick the whole fucking...
Can you put episode. On the beard for just for a couple minutes? I just want to see what it looks like. Thank you. Okay.
Now bring us some figgy pudding. Now bring us some figgy pudding. Now bring us some figgy pudding.
Hey.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
Been hoping that you've dropped in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands.
It's just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing on the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I'd be... Fuck.